fella. He ain't nothing like a regular fella. Poop putting his hat on. Hat size number 9. You saying Putin's getting big-headed? Putin's head's just fine.
Randy Newman is a legendary songwriter with hits that run the gamut from heartbreaking to satirical and a host of unforgettable film scores. He has used his many talents to create musical masterpieces widely recognized by generations of audiences. He'll be at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on the 16th of September at 8 o'clock. That's this Saturday, the 16th. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Randy Newman to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. What a pleasure to have you on the program.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks very much.
Very nice to have you here. Let me also mention you have a brand new album. It is called Dark Matter, which I assume is ultimately what brings you out on the road at this time.
It does. So things have changed about that. You know, you don't go necessarily, you don't go out to perform when you have an album out. It's the other way around, where you put the album out and then the performance is really almost the more important thing now. Certainly, in terms of making a living, because the business has changed so radically.
So when you're putting together Dark Matter, is it a different process than it has been in the past? It's been a while. I think it was 9 years in between
nine
albums.
Years, yeah.
So is it a different process? No.
It's essentially the same. The only thing different was that I think I worked on some things longer for more time than before. I mean, songs, I didn't get many gifts. You know, sometimes you write a song and it'll go boom. You'll write it and almost the length it takes to do the song. But with these, I had to work on them and then make them sound like they weren't worked on. You know, you can't show how hard you worked on something. It's not right.
What I found interesting in the album is that there are often many voices present, which seems a little bit different.
Yeah.
Usually, we usually have one voice. It may not be your voice,
yeah,
but there's one voice. And here we have a
That's
few
right.
voices going on.
That was a definite difference. In the first song, in The Great Debate, there's three or four different narrative voices. It's harder to do that in the second song, Song Brothers. There's Bobby Kennedy and there's Jack Kennedy talking to each other on it.
There's a man to see you in the office, Jack. Bob, I'm going home. I've had a rotten day. You are home, Jack. Well, I still don't want to see him. I think you should see him anyway. It's about Cuba, Jack. The Russians are pouring in, and it's 90 miles away.
You have to do things like, hey, Jack, you know, or hey, Bobby, and they have to keep using the other one's name. If I'll do it again, I don't know. But I was very consciously doing it with this one to see if I could do more than one narrative voice to tell a story with from more than one viewpoint.
You mentioned The Great Debate. It's the first song on the album. It's a terrific song. It's 8 minutes long.
Thank you.
And are you comfortable with that long form of saying, okay, I've got this time, I can tell this story?
I've never done it before, and it wouldn't surprise me if I didn't do it again, but I couldn't cut it down. I you know, didn't want to stay on for 8 minutes necessarily.
To that end, we have here gathered some of the most expensive scientists in the world, eminent scientists, that is. We got biologists, biometrics, got a quantum mechanic, an astrophysician, we got a cosmologist, a cosmetician, we got an astronaut, we got an astro boy, we got pea doctors, she doctors, knee doctors, tree doctors, we got a lumberjack and a life coach. On the other side, we have the true believers. We got the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians. Episcopalians are here, pass the hat. We got the Shakers, the Quakers, the anti-inoculators, the big ball slime, it's Madison time. The six blind boys, 5 tons of joy. Give them room, get out of the way. We got a Bible belter from the Mississippi Delta. Have them all arranged.
I was satisfied that it was good at 8 minutes, and I couldn't take things out of it. But I don't know how often I do it. I think I'll try it again because it's a big sort of challenge, and I was very happy with how that turned out.
The last lines are, we're going to take a little break, ladies and gentlemen. 15, 20, 25 minutes, depending on how the merchandise is moving. We'll be right back.
That's right. That's right. That's the real American part of it, in all honesty.
So how much of, and I assume you're asked this question a lot, but how much of writing this was, because you're writing it during an election time, and does that take up, do you just naturally absorb that of what's going on around you?
That's a good question. The only thing I can remember consciously about responding to the election is that I didn't call the album The Great Debate, as I was going to, because it leads to expectations that it's going to be more political than it turned out to be. If I called it The Great Debate, it's not that political an album, really. And usually I don't like to respond to things that are in the air immediately, you know, because they'll go away. A number of years ago, I wrote a song called A Few Words in Defense of Our Country during the Bush administration, because in my opinion, for whatever that's worth, it was not one of the best administrations we'd had. And I thought that it was sort of unsurpassably bad. It looks like Pericles in Athens now. So I wrote it, and then the song went away. Now I could do it again. But I don't like to be right on the nose with things particularly.
Because my understanding is, I believe I read this in Newsweek, but there was to be a song, or you were talking about a song about Donald Trump's penis, which you decided not to add.
I'll say. Yeah, I never thought of it, of doing it. I wrote it 2.5 years ago when he was talking about that kind of thing, all that size stuff, you know, small hands or big hands and that stuff. So I wrote one, but I was never, I may have played it for a couple of people, but I was never going to put it out. There's no sense adding to the vulgarity of the times.
But it had, a part of it was, isn't that a wonderful sight? Run to the village, to town, to the countryside.
Yeah.
Tell the people what you've seen.
What you've seen tonight.
Yeah.
That was the nicest part of it. It was funny, but some jokes aren't worth it to make.
So let me ask you this question. This is one of the things that I've always found fascinating about your career, because you will take on a character, you will take on a voice, and you will write in that character. And
that's right.
Perhaps the best example of that is the song Short People.
Short people got no reason. Short people got no reason. Short people got no reason to live. They got little hands, little eyes. They walk around telling great big lies. They got little noses, tiny little teeth. They wear platform shoes on their nasty little feet. Well, I don't want no short people. Don't want no short people. Don't want no short people around here.
Which got great acclaim, but also its share of criticism, because people took it seriously.
Right.
Did that teach you a lesson in the future as to how you word things so that there is some disconnect from you, the songwriter, that, okay, this isn't Randy Newman assailing short people. This is this character that Randy Newman is singing.
Well, as. In their defense, people aren't necessarily used to there being an unreliable or an unlikable sort of protagonist, if you can use that word in that sense, in the song. So, I mean, here's this guy saying, you know, you'd think everyone would get that it's a joke, and that the guy in the song, we're meant to think he's loony, because that's what he was.
Right.
But I wasn't surprised, and I didn't change a thing. You know, I still write the way I always wrote. I wasn't surprised that some people didn't understand it. What I was surprised about was that it was a hit. It reached people that I usually don't reach.
Yeah.
So that was part of the problem, I think.
Well, the other thing, too, is that now there are certain artists that would look at something like that and just have utter glee that people are misinterpreting it or not interpreting it in the way that they hadn't intended. I believe in an interview you referred to it as a bad break. So you don't look at it necessarily positively.
No, I want people to get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I remember in school when, at least when I went to school, you'd analyze a poem or something, and they'd say, someone would say, oh, I think it means this. And that someone else would say, I think it means that. And the teacher would say, that's fine. You know, that's fine. That's fine. With my stuff, which is not poetry, I want them to get what I'm saying. I want them to know that the guy in the great debate is a slickster, you know, that he's not hardly a dispassionate MC. You know, he's on one side. He's on the side of the believers. And the snobbish scientist is I'd like him to know that scientist is a bit of a snob. And that, you know, the guy calling out Randy Newman toward the end of it is also a bit of a snob. I'd like it if they get all that. And some of the reviews have indicated to me that they do get it. And that's, I'm happy about that, because it wasn't easy to write that one exactly.
When you read those reviews or you see that, or people tell you that this is something, this album is something different, or it's something that they've never heard you do before, that has to be flattering given how long you've been doing this.
Yeah, it is. As I've said in other forums, there's a lot of evidence to indicate that people do their best work in this field before they're 30, certainly before they're 40. And I'm, you know, hell of a lot older than that. And I think it's the best thing I ever did. And I think the last two, which are 9 years apart, sadly, are about the best I ever did before this.
Do you look at it differently from when you put an album out of your music that you have done? Is that different than putting out a soundtrack or working on a film score?
Yeah.
You look at it as a completely different project.
And it's also incidental to me. They put a soundtrack out. I was writing music for the movie, nothing else in mind, no other life for the music I was writing. I didn't care about it. And I do the best I can for the picture, but I don't care much about the soundtrack albums.
So let's take Toy Story, for example. I mean, that song has become iconic. It's lovely. It's about friendship.
Yeah.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through, 'cause you've got a friend in me.
You think, well, you know, that's a lovely thing to have your name attached to.
Oh, the best. It's great. It is as close as I ever get to being part of any kind of mainstream, you know. I mean, I'm very grateful to Pixar for that. And I'm very grateful for the use of an orchestra. I mean, there's nothing I like better than writing for orchestra. I love it. What I love about it is working with them on the music, with the orchestra. Those are the best days of my life. So I'm very glad to be doing that stuff.
But when it's just you and the piano and you're sitting down in front of that audience in Troy on Saturday, there's that intimacy that you can't beat, right? That also is just a nice dynamic.
It is. It's right up there with working with the band. It's a real privilege to be able to earn your living in that kind of a way and to play that nice new building again, you know. No, it's not so new anymore.
it's a beautiful place. It's
it really is. Really is.
It's the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, and Randy Newman will be there Saturday night at 8 o'clock. The brand new album is out. It is called Dark Matter. Randy Newman, it's a great thrill and pleasure for me to speak to you. I thank you very, very much.
Pleasure for me, too.
Thank you very much.
Nice interview. Good job.
Great to have you in town. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
Again, Randy Newman will be at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, 8 o'clock Saturday night, and you can find out more information by going to their website, which is troymusichall.org. troymusichall.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Will you have whiskey with your water? Or sugar with your tea? What are these crazy questions that they're asking of me? This is the wildest party that they ever could be. Well, don't turn on the light, cause I don't wanna see. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. Mama said there ain't no way to have fun. Open up the window, there's some air into this room. I think I'm almost choking on the smell of stale perfume. That cigarette you're smoking about to scare me half to death. Oh, open up the window, let me catch my breath. Mama told me not to come. Mama told me not to come. Mama said there ain't no way to have fun.